This episode of To The Last Drop is sponsored by the Listen Audio app, where you can stream all your favorite radio stations, catch up on the latest news and entertainment, and dive into captivating podcasts all in one app.
Download Listen, that's LISTN, from the App Store or Google Play. The Listen Audio app, everywhere you are.
It's time for To The Last Drop podcast with Liam Del Carm and Brendan Nell.
This is To The Last Drop. I'm Liam Del Carm.
And I'm Brendan Nell.
This week we have a guest who in many ways needs no introduction. He was a wonder kid when he hit the streets, the box streets, in 2006. And he was pretty much wunderbar across 78 tests. Played in three World Cups, including a series win over the British and Irish Lions. A man who, whenever he put on the Springbok jersey, did some wonderful things. Welcome to the show, Frans Steyn.
Thanks, guys. It's good to be here, and thanks for having me.
Do you ever get used to those intros, Frans? Because, I mean, geez, you've got a long rugby CV here.
I don't know. It differs sometimes, so, yeah. But it's not always nice hearing, and I don't think that's what I played. So, I mean, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I was quite deliberate in trying to keep it as short as possible. So, I was hoping there was enough there.
Thank you. Thanks. It's more than enough.
First of all, how's the retirement and the new job going? That's the first thing, because I mean, I don't think people have seen you for a while, sir.
Yeah, I think it's going well. Like you've seen, we've lost a coach, and I don't think this is what I don't imagine. I thought this was what I was going to be doing. I was busy sorting out farm stuff, trying to get back into that. And then, yeah, this opportunity came. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it at the moment. It's not always fun, but, yeah.
So how quickly did things fall into place? I mean, if it wasn't something that was on your mind, once you got the first call or email or whatever the case was, how quickly did things fall into place?
2 weeks.
And has it been exactly, not exactly, but, I mean, how have you found it so far? I mean, obviously, would have had an expectation or an idea of what the job entails. Is it that, or is it something that you have to craft as you go along?
Yeah, I think people have different styles of doing things. Luckily for me, I don't think the Cheetahs have had a director of rugby. I think there was appointments before, but I mean, I think it was given to a coach that was actually coaching, or a director that was actually doing something else. So it is tough still. We're trying to figure out, because you need to understand, we're not the Bulls. I can't be Jake. I think there's so much more that we have to do in Bloom with the universities and the way we want to do things. So it's tough, it's interesting, and it's challenging at the same time. But I think it's just what I enjoy is working with the people. And then, like we said earlier, Harvey's left. So I was actually supposed to still till May after the contracting of the juniors, I was supposed to start to build that blocks, the junior blocks. And with everything that has happened, stuff changed a bit quite fast. Well, I'm now busy with the seniors as well and trying to sort stuff out now.
So I was going to ask you, how far does that role go? Because, I mean, there's different variations of directors of rugby. You're going to obviously be doing the contracting of the players there in terms of the coach, or does that still stay with the board?
So I've got Isak in at the moment. They say he's an intern, but he's actually his head coach. And then Albert is doing the backs. Charles is still here. He's doing the defense. I'm in all the meetings. I say what I think. And then I sort out stuff off the field and yeah, working with the players and stuff like that. Working with Bloemfontein then.
Yeah.
What did you identify as, looking in from the outset? And obviously, you're a fairly recent player as well. What was the one thing that you thought needed to be addressed first?
For me, relationship with in Bloemfontein within the Free State. Like I said, I don't think we are a union that can operate like the Bulls or the Sharks. We need to be good to people for them to be good to us. We need to work in relations with Shimlas and with CUT to get young players into the varsity. We don't have the money, firstly, to give out to young players that the Sharks or whatever have. But if we can combine a salary with a thing from Shimlas or CUT, then it's a good offer to give to a young guy. So you understand what I'm saying? The working together with people, that was a big thing. I think it's the first. This is going to be the first year in 5 years where Free State, Shimlas, and CUT are going together to the Craven Week. I mean, it sounds like something small, but I think we already working together much better. So that's the one thing. Coaching wise, player wise, I think I've been lucky enough to been coached by a lot of coaches, good and bad. So definitely there's some stuff that I try and get across to the coaches, how I think we should do things. And luckily, like I said, with Isak and Albert, we all think the same. So that's good.
Franz, I was going to say that how have those conversations been with the younger players? Because in a way, the Cheetahs are a team in limbo. I mean, you're in one European competition that really you've got these big breaks in between games as well. So to get a younger player to come to you, as you're saying, you're competing with the Bulls and the Sharks and these franchises with a lot of money. You've got to offer something a bit differently and a bit more special to these guys as well.
Yeah, I think at the moment we don't have a competition, and that's one of those things. But I also think we can change in the way we look at it or the mindset that we have. If we go out into the world and we say we're going to be a developing club, we're going to develop players. I spoke to Jake the other day as well, and I told him, like, if we go to a player together, I want him to tell me, listen, yeah, you can take him, I'll come and get him from you at 21 or 22. Then I know I'm doing my job. For me, it's getting the right people at under 19 and 20 and under 20 or 21, working with those players for them to become better humans, better husbands for their wives, better sons for their fathers. If I can do that and Jay can come and fetch them from me, then I don't have a problem with it. There is a spot for us within South African rugby. At the moment, this is the spot we have. So, yeah, we can give people chances or opportunities, if you can say it like that, that other unions can't. We can play, there's Christian now, he was in Matric last year. He's going to play SA Cup for us this year. And he'll be in the Curry Cup squad. He's going to play in the Curry Cup. So I think in that sense, we can give opportunity to players that, so that the other unions can see if he can play or not. And it's a mind shift we have to make as a company, as a franchise, as a union.
The way you explain that, it sounds like a lot of the development or recruitment will be done with a retention policy in mind. In other words, people from the region will be sort of funneled into your system. If you were to play in other competitions, if there's another competition that comes your way, would you have to revisit that recruitment model and maybe then consider getting bigger names in from outside?
Not necessarily. I think we want to use Free State guys because I think the thing is just we know how Bloom works. We know how Free State works. It's not – everybody doesn't like it. If you come from the sea and you can only go to Mitma or to what's this dam outside Bloemfontein, it's quite difficult to get used to Bloemfontein. I think the biggest thing for me is I'm not doing anything of those by myself. We recruit as a unit. We sign players in the senior squad as a unit. So it comes down to getting the right guy to come to Bloemfontein. I think that's the biggest thing.
And tied to that, I take it that tradition, Cheetah's tradition, is quite important to you as well? In other words, people must understand what they represent when they play for the Cheetah.
Definitely. We want people to be invested in the Cheetah. So over the years, I think, especially after after COVID, we got thrown out of competitions and all of that. At a stage there, we had to just take, we didn't get players. Nobody wanted to come to the Free State. And I still think Harvey's did an amazing job in that. It was a difficult period for him to be at the Cheetahs. But most of them came, and not all of them really, how can you say, it aangepas. Yeah, they didn't really adjust it to Bloemfontein, to the Free State. So getting the right people here. And another thing is, when a guy is 19 and 21, you can still bend him a bit or shape him into a guy that you want him to be. When he gets to the senior squad, he's already molded. If Asain Windgat gaan wees, or if he's going to be this or that, that we can't do anything to a 23-year-old guy. His tricks has already been, is in his character. So that's why the young guys and who's working with them is going to be so important, or is important to me.
I was going to say, Frans, just on the Cheetah performances this season, have you guys been happy? I mean, you're in the round of 16 of the EPCR. Obviously fighting above your weight because you against teams with bigger budgets, etc. But it must be quite a motivation still to you guys to make sure you perform there.
Definitely. But I think we're happy. Like you said, we did well. We beat the Sharks, and the budget-wise, like it's almost like a Japan-South Africa situation that it can't really happen, because if you know what the budgets are. But saying that, I think last year when we went around 16, I think everybody was just happy that we went around 16. I want us to go win. I think the coaches want us to go win the round 16. I know we're playing against Clermont, and I've played many games against them at that stadium. It's going to be tough, and it might go the wrong way. We might lose by 50 points, but we need to go win, because it just, in world rugby, where we are at the moment, we cause headaches. And if we win Clermont in Clermont, there's going to be somebody that's overdosing on Panado somewhere. You understand? So we need to win. We can't be happy with just going to Clermont.
Yeah. To what degree, Frans, I mean, if given your vast experience as a player, and also you played until fairly recently, will you be wearing a tracksuit and maybe get involved in on-field matters? In the coaching setup, that is.
Yeah, it's only coaching. No, never coach. I'll say what I need to say, yeah, in the chain or in the meetings and whatever. If they ask me to run a drill, I run it. I will run a drill, but I don't want to be a coach. I think Ruan wants to be a coach, and I really hope it can work out for him. But I'm happy where I'm at the moment. I don't want to be a coach. I'm already losing my hair and getting grey. So I mean, if you get a coach, you know, it's like blaze volgende jaar.
And I think it's some of what you will be doing will be sort of ambassadorial. So you will build bridges for the franchise in and outside Bloemfontein.
Yeah, until recently I was busy with that. But I mean, I can help, but my plate's also getting a little bit full. So I took a step back and just trying to sort out the weekly stuff. And I don't want to be involved in financials and all of that. I spoke to Emmy as well, and that's their problem. I don't want to be involved in financial. If we're in a financial problem or we need to pay this to this, I don't want to know that. Ek wil net omgee, what's my budget? What can I expandeer op spelers? Getting the right people giving me the right answers about certain players. And if that answer is all good, then I want to get that guy here, if I can, if I have enough money. So, and I need to stay under budget. That's been said multiple times. Just stay under budget.
I was going to say, Frans, you last time we chatted as well, you were telling me how you're getting the farm going. So you talk about your plate getting full. Has the farm had to take a back step as well, and all the hunting trips and those things?
Definitely. I sold all my sheep. So that's gone. I spoke to my dad, and we thinking about how we can make it easier on him as well. He's doing the hunting this year, and he's I don't know what happened with that, but there's a lot of bookings, especially for the hunters this year. It's a time of my life where I'm busy with this now. I don't think I'm going to be busy with this for 20 years, hopefully not. And yeah, then I'll go to the farm. It's just a time in my life where I think this is where I can add value, hopefully, and yeah, trying to do a good job.
What have you missed most, Frans, of you know, from your playing days? I know it's still been fairly recent, but you know, what have you missed most?
Nothing. No, I'm serious. Nothing. I saw the guys doing fitness the other day, and I thought, no. No, nothing.
Not even those moments after the game where you can have a beer in celebration. Because we need to ask you about
beer in celebration. Oh, nothing. I don't know. I think we've played it for so long that I don't know. I think it. And then as well, there's people coming through, the young guys at the box and all of that. And no, nothing. I'm happy, very happy.
How strange was it for you to watch this last World Cup? I mean, you've been involved but almost like the last four or five cycles around there. So to see these guys now in France as well, a place that's quite familiar to you as well. I mean, that must have been a bit strange to be on the other side for a change.
I must be honest. I watched like 10 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 2 minutes here. I couldn't watch the full game. The stress was, no, I can't. Like even here, when it's game time, I'm struggling to watch a whole match because I think I'm like that money ball guy that can't watch a match because the stress just gets to me. And then I can say the ref, so you're not writing about anything here. So, and then you get the ref that's not doing their jobs or whatever. And it's just, yeah, I struggle to watch the World Cup, especially the box last three games. I think most of South Africa almost had heart attacks.
Will that trend continue? In other words, I know the World Cup is particularly stressful, but they're also going into a big year this year. They play Ireland, and there's a couple of home tests against the All Blacks. Will that be the same for you? Will you find yourself in the same situation where you can't watch?
I don't know. I hope not. I hope they win by 30 points or 10 points at least. I think I'll be watching a little bit more because I think they're going to start with a new cycle pretty soon. And I think it's going to be interesting, especially with the help they brought in. It's going to be interesting to see where they are going to go from here. So in that sense, I think I might be watching. They're also going to go into a building period, so it's not going to be as stressful as if you lose, you go home. You know, so yeah.
I wanted to quickly show France. I showed DM just before we started. I found this picture the other day. I'm going to try and share it on the screen here quickly. Just to remind you how young you were, France. Do you remember?
Yeah. Look at you guys as well. Yeah, it was young, eh?
Yeah.
Well, that isn't me, by the way.
I know. Hopefully not.
But yeah, I don't have any grey hairs there, and I look a lot. Don't know as well, I think, probably, but
I'm the same.
So I just thought I'd show you quickly. I found that the other day. You're very young there. It's 2007. You were, what, 19, 20 then, huh?
19, 20.
And the memories from that World Cup, I mean, because, yeah, obviously everybody talks back straight away the way you stepped in there as well. What do you remember? What if you think back now, what's the first things that come to mind?
I don't know. I think I was lucky, firstly, because John got injured and stuff worked out. But at that time of my career, I was young, and you always thought, hey, if we lose or whatever, there's going to be another one and whatever. It was my, like, I made my debut in 2006, and then 2007 was the World Cup. So,
when you think back to that, I mean, obviously you were very young and you might have harbored concerns about, you know, am I ready for this, you know, for this huge step? When you compare that to modern day players who also, I think mostly now, younger players get thrust into the big time, you know, at a younger age as well. I mean, is there a comparison to be made there at all? I mean, do you think that players now, the younger guys who come through, are better equipped?
I don't know how good equipped was I when I came through. I don't know. In what sense? I think they must be better equipped these days, especially with the cell phones and Instagrams and all of that. I mean, that wasn't there with the... We would have been in so much trouble with all of those technologies. But playing-wise, I think it's tough. It's tough these days to get a break if you're a young guy. I see it now where I'm busy at the moment. There's guys at, say, the Bulls or the Sharks that's bloody good. They would definitely start in the Free State. They would play. Whereas their squads are so good and so big that there's not opportunity. So Kanan coming through as quickly as he did is a massive thing. And I can't see with the talent we have that why is there not more guys like that coming through the systems. I spoke to somebody the other day and they said, who was the last guy from Grey again that made his debut? Like, I mean, at a stage where the box, there were so many Grey guys where at the moment there's nothing, there's nobody. And over the years, when was the last guy that had a cap, like debutant of Grey? So somewhere between matric and stepping up for professional rugby, there's a problem. Because in matric they dominate and the SA schools and after SA schools they play well. But there's a problem because why is there no Grey guys in the Springbok team?
Yeah.
So there must be some situations that's...
Well, there's a couple of them at the lineman camp now, Jan Hendrik and Nietang and those guys. There's a couple of them coming through still.
Now, I'm happy for that. Oh, but I mean, there was a time where who was the last guy? Swayze Venter, I think. And that was with Tutti in... When was
2017.
That? 17.
Something like, 2017, 16, 17.
Iverster tussen Grey en jou derde jaar val mense van die bietjie van die bus af. Why that is, I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose COVID could have had something to do with some of that. I think everybody went through some strange times in COVID. So, now there's enough talent in the Grey. You know, they're always in the top 2-3 schools in the country. So there should be more guys coming through as well.
Yeah, but then you look at other schools as well. There must be some guys that's 19 and can start playing freaking URC. For me, I think having a young guy in your team, it's not always a bad thing because the second year is your most difficult year, or second and third year, because people start looking at videos and stuff. Mm. So having one young guy in your squad that can every season rate a guy and say, this is going to be the wing or the 15 that's going to be in our squad, the young guy, every year. He's going to make mistakes, but he's going to score you tries as well because nobody knows him. It's just stuff that changed over the years. I mean, the analyst part of the game, I think Rassie did it, but not everybody was on that stage that Rassie was. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to the young guys. They can come to the Free State. They can play here and then they can go away again.
What do you say to the young guys if you're going to go out there and try and recruit and you want to convince a young guy to become Free State? What do you say to
them? I can't say exactly what's going on this thing. So, but we're working on competitions. We want to go somewhere. Everything is not sorted. But the next 2-3 years, if you sign with the Cheetahs, you're going to be a trailblazer of a new era for the Free State. I only saw two guys yet. Two matric guys, and then we have to go start looking for other special guys as well. So, but I think that's my, and then my door's open. I tell the parents, listen, I'm going to make mistakes. He's also going to make mistakes. My office door's open. jy kan kom sweer het my of skel my uit, dan sê ek vir jou, ek jammer as ek rarig iets verkeerd gedoen het. And then we can go on from there. It's a relationship and yeah.
I think the one thing I remember of you as a player, France, and I think that'll probably shine through in your way you directed rugby, is that you've always been a very straightforward Rachet guy, with in terms of that. You don't always play the public relations card. Yeah, and you're quite honest in your thoughts as such. I take it that's not going to change, but do you have to be a bit more diplomatic in this role?
Yeah, I try and stay as open to everybody. Try and inform, say, the management as much as I can what's going on upstairs or whatever. But there is certain types of stuff that you can't say, and it's killing me. I can't walk around and just think, I can't say this. I try and be as open as I can most of the times.
Mm-hmm. We probably need to take the chat in a slightly different direction. When you step, not step away, but when you have free time and I don't have to worry about the cheetahs or the farm necessarily, I mean, what do you do in your downtime? What do you do for relaxation?
I played golf and then I started playing pickle and paddle, but my knee is so screwed up I need to go for a knee replacement because I play once and then I need to sit for 5 weeks. So I need to get that done. No, at the moment I'm here Mondays to Fridays. Weekends I rest because it's quite a transition dealing with everything week to week at the moment. So over weekends I'm quite... I'm tired. I know it's not training-wise, it's more mental thing that you tired mentally of everything. So at the moment, I'm here Monday to Fridays before just after I drop the kids, till about 4, 5, 6-ish. And that's my job at the moment. So hopefully systems and structures can get in place and then I'll have time for holiday.
Where would that holiday be? Where do you want to go next?
I don't know. The problem is all of my kids take a seat on an airplane at the moment. So it went from my wife to from 40 to 100,000 just for the flights. I mean, so it's at the moment it's in South Africa. I think I want to go to the West Coast again. Western Coast, or it's almost West Coast. West Coast,
yeah. West Coast, yeah.
Yeah, ek wil weer bietjie so in te gaan. We went there 2-3 years ago. I enjoyed it a lot. I don't like going to places where there's too much people. I like to go to places that's amper, as amper in 'n spookdorp is as ek daar kom.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that wind on the West Coast makes sure that not a lot of people go there.
Yeah, but then like Pater Noster and those places, they've got nice food. My holiday is miserable when I don't eat lekker. I'm gonna go to come. So we might do that, but I know I've been invited to go with Skalk Brits to Bali or some, not Bali, where, I don't know, Phuket. Or he invited me, but like I said, it just got really expensive at the moment.
Franz, we always also talk a bit of wine. We always, on this podcast, that's why the podcast is called To the Last Drop, not just because of your drop goal abilities.
Although we need to ask him about that drop against Australia.
Only that one.
No, that's a nice, you know, the first one, the one that, like, everybody remembers.
Well, Franz, do you remember it?
Lucky. That's all I can say. I was lucky.
Wow.
Young and dumb. Because the week before that, I missed a kick for the Super Final, Super Rugby Final. So, I mean, it's just funny how rugby is, it comes with the ups and downs.
Yeah, no, definitely. But there's been more ups and downs. And we obviously, both them and I, quite enjoy a glass of red. Do you drink wine? And if you do, what wine do you prefer?
Yeah, Brannewijn.
No, I was going to say. You're from the Free State.
I'm actually a bit off Brannewijn at the moment. I got to go to a place and they started drinking white wine in the middle of the day. And I actually got I was never into white wine. It was always bitter and good. And then I actually started enjoying it. So, and I made a friend, John Engelbrecht.
Oh, yeah.
From St. Frede.
Yeah.
So, I enjoy his wines the most. Donkey Spoort is a white wine. You can must go and get it. It's a, I enjoy that. And then, yeah, like I said, I enjoy red wine as well. It just, there's gout that comes with it sometimes.
I know all about that, yeah.
Look, there's nothing wrong with drinking white wine in the middle of the day. You must just make sure that you don't have a lot to do in the afternoon. I mean, just make sure that, you know.
That mukhait that hits you later on. So, Franz, the stupid question, but people in the Cape laugh at some of us up country here. But being as hot as it is in your part of the world and in Pretoria where I am, do you take a bit of ice with your white wine then? Or do you just do it?
Yeah, lots of ice. With the white wine, not the red.
So it's not just brandy that gets the ice. Eh?
No.
I don't know, Liam. I think we can probably wrap it up. I think
we can.
We haven't asked you, Franz, that you want us to ask. Were you anything in your heart that you want to share with us?
I don't know. I think for the people that supported the Free State through the years, thanks so much. It means a lot. And then I know the Free State is always the second team of everybody. And we're definitely going to try and get back to the old Cheetah rugby ways. And hopefully we can make them proud and make the stadium full again.
Thanks for listening. And a reminder, you can find all the To The Last Drop podcasts on the Brendan Nell YouTube channel, iono.fm, Spotify, player.fm, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, and iTunes, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.